is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. All right, so that is the sound of a pneumatic drill. Pretty common one when it comes to car repairs, and a familiar one in just about every mechanics shop in the country. But in this day and age, so is the quieter hum of a diagnostic computer. You know, the machines that plug into your car so that the complicated software under the hood can tell the mechanic exactly what's wrong. You've probably seen them at dealerships when you've taken your car in there. Maybe you've even seen them at your local independent garage, if that's where you prefer to take your car. But what do you do when your longtime mechanic tells you he doesn't have the high-tech tools needed to really fix your car? Barry Hines of Glenville Terrace Auto Body in Alston says that often makes him the bearer of bad news.
Quite often I have to stop in the middle of a repair because it's a small piece of information and then refer the customer to the local dealership. I'd like to be able to get all that information and that the technology is also available to me so I can do more repairs myself and be a little more sure about some of the repairs that I've been doing. We're making some repairs based on past experience as opposed to exact information that we have available to us.
Well, Hines and thousands of other independent mechanics could get that information if a potentially landmark bill clears the Massachusetts legislature. It's called the Right to Repair Bill, and it would require car manufacturers to provide the system codes and diagnostic tools, usually only given to dealerships, to all car repair shops. But automakers, including the big three, say that amounts to throwing open trade secrets and proprietary technology to anyone and everyone, particularly aftermarket parts makers that would use the information to make cheap parts in foreign countries. And that would essentially put car makers at a competitive disadvantage. So they're fighting back with an ad blitz that recently hit the Massachusetts airwaves.
The big auto parts distributors would like you to think Right to Repair is a battle of big guys versus little guys. Truth of the matter is that the bill is being pushed by the big guys. NAPA and AutoZone, among others, who've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on radio ads and high-priced lobbyists trying to convince you...
So what do you think? Would the Right to Repair bill give you more choice in where to take your car? Dealerships, would it hurt your business and car makers in general? And independent mechanics out there, do you even need access to software under the hood, or are there already other services available to you that make it possible for you to fix almost anything? You can join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Well, joining us now is Arthur Kinsman. He is the coordinator of the Massachusetts Right to Repair Coalition, and he supports the Right to Repair bill currently in the legislature. Arthur Kinsman, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Also with us is Charles Torito. He's the spokesman for the Alliance of Automobile Manufacturers. They are made up of the Big Three and several other manufacturers as well. They, of course, oppose the Right to Repair bill. Charles Torito, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so Art Kinsman, if I can just start with you, describe to us, you know, really specifically, if you can, what exactly it is that Right to Repair would give, my mechanic down the street that he doesn't already have.
Right. What the bill does literally is just to require manufacturers to give them access to 100% of the repair and diagnostic information so they can fix your car. And we contend that right now, that is not the case. They're getting a Cliff Notes version of in many cases, of what is available. And again, we don't want it for free. We want to pay for the stuff. They pay for it now. We just want to get what we pay for.
And what would the bill then? You said it wouldn't be for free. So if they were able to get 100% of this information at a cost, would that would satisfy what you're looking for? And I mean, is the cost reasonable, I should say?
Well, we're looking for a fair market price for the information, similar to what the dealers pay. The dealers pay for that information. We want to pay for it too. We just want to get what they get. We don't want to be at a competitive disadvantage. The independent repairers right now can provide a good lower cost alternative for people who, especially people, have cars out of warranty. And we think it doesn't make any sense at all to have. You have to take your 6-7-year-old car to a car dealer if they can't get a particular code or they can't turn off your check engine light.
Mm-hmm. Well, Charles Torito of the Alliance for Automobile Manufacturers, I have to say, on first blush, it seems I don't want to say far-fetched, but maybe a bit of a stretch that big, powerful automobile manufacturers are afraid of opening up their diagnostic software to people who are actually trying to fix their own cars.
Yeah. Let me say a couple things to begin. We believe that independent repairers already have the right to repair. You know, more than 75 to 80% of all post-warranty repairs are performed by independent repairers. And for franchise dealers, anytime they repair a vehicle outside of their line make, they become essentially independent repairers as well. There are any number of sources where this information is available, and that's why many repairers actually oppose this legislation. The largest association in this state representing independent repairers, NACERA, opposes the legislation, as does at the national level the Automotive Service Association. They recognize that we have a system in place. And if a repairer is willing to make the investments in the tools and the training and the technical information that's available, then they'll be able to fix just about any car on the market. We also have a system in place to help those independent repairers if they find gaps in information. The National Automotive Service Task Force has been in place for the last 8 years and is a tremendous resource for repairers that are interested in getting more information.
I should say, you mentioned NACERA. They are the New England Service Station and Automotive Repair Association, and I read here that Matthew LeLachure, he's executive director, said that their concern was is if right to repair eventually passed and was then challenged in court, that it might end up actually limiting access to data even more so than they already have. And they were initially in support of right to repair.
Right. There are several. Right to repair has the best thing the issue has going for it is the name. Once you get past the right to repair, you tend to peel off the layers of the onion and you see what this issue is really about. You know, one thing, repairers shouldn't think that if this bill passes, that it's going to rain tools and service information. This bill is not about tools or even repair. This bill is about parts. It has been about parts, and it will always be about parts. And that's why the funding for the effort to pass this legislation comes from the major parts manufacturers headquartered in Washington, whose association is headquartered in Washington, D.C.
But you're not from Massachusetts either, are you?
Well, not at all. But we are we're here defending against this legislation. If it were up to us, we wouldn't be fighting right to repair because we believe that it's a solution in search of a problem and that there's no problem that really exists.
Art Kinsman of the Massachusetts Right to Repair Coalition, your response to this, to Charles Torito saying that this isn't about cars, it's about parts.
Right. I mean, we've never hid the fact that the companies like AutoZone and NAPA and CarQuest support this bill because their customers are the independent repair shop owners. They're the consumers who fix their cars in the driveway. But the problem is they're having increasingly handcuffed by lack of information, so that hurts their business too. As far as NASARA goes, I mean, they've constantly been referred to as the largest organization in the state. They represent about 300 repairers out of 5,700. We've got more than 1,000 repairers in our coalition. We've had over 1,000 repairers call this week alone to the State House asking for this bill. They're not looking for auto parts information. And this bill actually specifically prohibits, and we encourage people to go to www.massrighttorepair.com, read the bill, Senate 2517. Section 4 of the bill clearly prohibits access to trade secrets or any of that information. And if we were going to make knockoff parts, we would need that. But that's not what you want. We don't want to know how the car was made. We just want to know how to fix it.
But, I mean, independent repair shop owners aren't going to be making the knockoff parts. It's NAPA, et cetera. Those, the parts makers themselves.
But they are actually, just to clarify, the AutoZone and NAPA and those folks, they distribute parts. They don't make them. Many of the parts, the original equipment manufacturer parts, are made by the same companies as make the aftermarket parts. They just have a different label on them.
Can I ask you a quick question about something else that Charles Torito mentioned? And it's something that I read that some repairers who don't want right to repair has said that there are other sources to get some of this diagnostic information, like the National Automotive Service Task Force, another software provider called All Data. So what's really stopping independent repair shops from using these options that already exist?
Well, many of them have tried to use it, and the National Automotive Service Task Force website is a very cumbersome, not user-friendly site that's run by the manufacturers. And there's no binding agreement that ensures that information will remain on that site or any information has to be on that site. It often takes our independent repairers weeks or more to get information, and a customer just can't wait that long. But, I mean, just getting back to the NASARA thing for a minute, Really, it's a. We've talked to many, many Nisara members, and they actually agree with us. I really question how many of those Nisara members really agree with their leadership. And there's a guy, Rusty Savignac, I'm curious if he's actually on the manufacturer's payroll because he's speaking for you folks in the ads. Is he directly or indirectly being paid by the manufacturers? Or?
Not at all. You know, Rusty is someone that understands, like most independent repairers, that
he's he's owner of Paxton Garage in Paxton.
And Rusty has been a longtime opponent of this bill because he understands that the system that's in place works. You know, one thing that hasn't been talked about is that the EPA actually already regulates this issue. For emissions-related controls, it is illegal now for manufacturers to withhold any information.
But that's just one part of
for the issues that we're talking about, most of that information is run through what's called the electronic control module for the vehicle. It's all one big computer these days. And if you have access to some of it, you have access to other. Manufacturers don't have an emissions website here, a collision repair website here, and then another safety website here, and a fuel economy website here.
Let me ask you, though. I mean, you said if you have access to some of it, you have access to all of it. That is not how complicated electronic systems work. Everyone knows that.
I would say this issue is a little bit like an issue that just happened this week with Apple. Apple introduced their new iPhone, the 4G, and there was a problem with the antenna on the 4G. Apple didn't come out and say, for all you fix-it guys at home, here's the coding behind the 4G. Go ahead and fix it yourself. What they did was let people know how it could be fixed. It's that same principle here. When your vehicle breaks, manufacturers provide to you the information you need to repair that vehicle. And the information that Arts Group is seeking is not information that franchise dealers have. This is the proprietary information that manufacturers use to create these parts. Mm-hmm. And it is not needed in vehicle repairs.
Although in Apple's case, I believe one of the suggested fixes was duct tape, and no one's saying you should slap duct tape on your car for a fix.
No.
We are talking about the proposed right to repair bill in Massachusetts and whether or not the law should be changed to require automotive makers to allow independent repair shops to have access to all the diagnostic tools and equipment they need to fix your car. You can join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Do you like the idea of the bill, or do you think that it could potentially hurt automakers and dealerships? Colleen is calling from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Welcome to Radio Boston, Colleen.
Hi, Magna.
What's your thought today?
My boyfriend actually owns a 2003 Audi, and the windshield wipers have been stuck in the upright position for about 6 months. The reason for that is because he brought it to our local mechanic down on the Fresh Pond by Alewife, and he had said that he couldn't fix it. He doesn't have access to the diagnostics that the Audi dealership would have, so there was nothing he could really do outside of buying a new motor, which is what the dealership told us to do, which was around about $420. So I'd say, from a consumer point of view, I'm all for the bill passing because, you know, the more information that's out there, the cheaper things get.
Mm-hmm. Colleen, thank you so much for your call. Art Kinsman.
Yeah, that's a very good example. And in fact, Barry Steinberg, who owns Direct Tire, he's a familiar face around this region. He had an example where he wanted to buy the actual dealer's Audi scanning tool because he gets a lot of Audis in his shop. And one of the dealers told him, don't bother buying it. Might as well buy the generic tool because you're not going to get the same access that I do. You don't have the dealer passwords. I mean, the scariest thing that I think about the missing information, and I hate to bring up a sore subject, but with the Toyota sudden acceleration problem, that's something it's been shown in many, many news outlets that was a known fact for several years and only shared within the automakers themselves and their dealers. Consumers didn't know, the government didn't know, and that's why they're being fined for it. But this bill not only would just, you're talking about, you know, try to check your turn off your check engine light, but also protecting people against recalls, hidden recalls, and other major safety defects.
Okay, Charles Torito of the Alliance of Automobile Manufacturers, I got to ask you: would the Toyota problem is a huge one? Is that something that independent repair shops could have been able to diagnose?
Not at all. There are technical service bulletins available on the NHTSA website as we speak for any types of fixes with these vehicles. And I think it's sort of a desperate and low blow to bring in an issue like that to try and sway this debate. You know, what this should be about.
On the other hand, though, I mean, it is something that was on everyone's mind because so many people own Toyotas.
Absolutely, and those vehicles were fixed by the company.
I own a Toyota, that's why.
And those vehicles were fixed by the company at no cost to the consumer. I think, and in fact, what we're finding out more and more each day is the real cause of some of those issues that occurred.
Right, but I don't want to interrupt, but yet that information was hidden from people.
Don't need to rehash the entire Toyota story.
Exactly. You know, one thing you did mention is, ironically, the company ALLDATA that you mentioned. ALLDATA is actually owned by, and ALLDATA is the company that claims to have all the information you need to fix vehicles, is actually owned by one of the companies that's paying ART, AutoZone. AutoZone, on one hand, is saying, we can't get the information that's needed to fix cars. On the other hand, they're operating a website, alldata.com. You can go to it right now and look at the bottom. The AutoZone logo is there. And so you can't have it both ways in this debate. I think one other thing is that you can look at the coalition in opposition to this. Not only is it auto manufacturers and auto dealers, but it's labor groups, it's law enforcement groups, it's business groups in the state of Massachusetts, all concerned about the precedent that this would set and the security concerns and the economic job loss that could come as a result of this legislation.
Charles Torito, let me ask you a question. The group that you didn't mention were consumers and actual drivers. And one thing that occurs to me is every time, you know, people I know, they have to take their cars to the dealership, their eyes roll in the back of their head because they know they're going to be shelling out tons of cash just to get their car looked at. So why would auto manufacturers want to do anything that, you know, could actually damage potential consumer loyalty? In this case, by allowing individual repairmen to have this information, it would open up choice for the people who own the cars that you're trying to sell. It would increase loyalty.
I couldn't agree with you more. And in fact, I've made that same argument several times. What benefit do manufacturers have from making their customers unhappy? We want consumers to get their vehicle repaired by the repairer of your choice. And incidentally, Edmunds.com came out with a report just a few weeks ago that said that Massachusetts was actually the second most affordable state in the nation for auto repairs. The Boston Globe ran a story last year talking about how good auto repairers were doing in this economy because instead of purchasing new cars, consumers were holding on to their cars longer and getting them repaired. And that's because independent repairers offer a viable option for consumers in this state and everywhere.
Let's get another call in here. Irfan is calling from Waltham. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Meghna.
What's your thought today?
Basically, my comment here is I own a Toyota. About 3 months ago, the oxygen sensor went off. I took it to my local shop. He installed sensor. I came back home 3 weeks later. I had to take my car back to Toyota dealer. He fixed it, and he told me basically that the guy installed the duplicate part. So my here comment would be that would this be happening much more once the bill passes? Like as the gentleman is saying, that they would have access and they would be able to make parts on their own.
Mm-hmm. Irfan, I want to get an answer to that question, but I also want to get one more call in here. Donald is calling from Atkinson. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Yes, I'm an electrical engineer and a shade tree mechanic, and I consider the diagnostics codes part of the vehicle. You should be able to buy them just like you buy a manual, and they shouldn't be hidden codes or areas that are fenced off if it's required to maintain the vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Donald, thank you so much for your call. Art Kinsman of the Massachusetts Right to Repair Coalition. Irfan had an interesting question there about, could we potentially see more misdiagnoses if had access to more information.
Yeah, I think I'm not sure I understand how that could happen. I mean, this bill requires is more information to be available to both independent repairers and consumers, not to, if there was an improper part installed, it's not really relevant to this bill because I think, you know, Mr. Torito wants everyone to think about is this bill is about parts. What it's about is repair information. It really has nothing to do with parts. I think it's a scare tactic that the auto manufacturers are using to oppose this bill, and they're doing it very effectively. But it's really, like I said, go on our website, read the bill. You'll see it has nothing to do with parts. Doesn't have anything to do with. There's nothing in there about giving information to parts manufacturers. And, you know, so it's, I think it's scare tactics and diversion.
Charles Torito, we've just got under a minute, so 30 seconds roughly. Mm-hmm. You're here in Massachusetts, and this is just, you know, one little state bill, but obviously you guys are worried that this could open up sort of a national tsunami of right to repair.
We've already had one. You know, the group that Art's working with has shopped in state after state looking for a sympathetic legislature to pass this. This has been an 8-year process to get here for the Right to Repair Coalition. And you know, we're here to ensure that independent repairers have a viable way of doing business, but that also consumers are protected and automakers are protected.
All right, well, that's Charles Torito.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah, you got 5 seconds.
All right, it's your car, you paid for it, get it fixed where you want. That's what we want to say.
That is Art Kinsman. He's coordinator of Massachusetts Right to Repair Coalition. Thank you so much, Mr. Kinsman. And Charles Torito, spokesman for the Alliance of Automobile Manufacturers. Thank you so much for being here as well.
Thank you for having me.
There's more after a break. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. Thank you.